I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn in them to John chapter 8 and verse 32. This will serve as the text for our lesson this morning, but I want to read the passage and leave the last word off for a specific reason. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? When Jesus was here on the earth, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he declared that he was truth personified. Truth in him. Jesus saith unto him, speaking unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Of course, we know that the event that was occurring was when he had told the disciples that he was leaving, that it was necessary for him to depart, and that they also could come to where he was. Thomas said that he did not know the way. Jesus, of course, told him that he was the way. His words were truth on whatever issues he addressed, and his behavior was truth exemplified. Because of Jesus' relationship with truth, one would naturally expect truth to be a key issue with his disciples. And it should be. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to love the truth. We are to seek the truth. And we are to live the truth. Why? Because we are purified. Because we are sanctified or made holy by the truth. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, we'll see that as Peter wrote this general epistle, he said, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. These directions were given to us as they were penned by Peter, as he was directed by the Holy Spirit, so that we might understand how we are purified, how we are set apart and made holy, that is, through truth in obeying the truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17 is another passage on truth. It's also very short, one that we should all be familiar with. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's a lot of discussion regarding truth over the years about what truth is, about what truth does, about where truth comes from. And some people have even been so bold as to say, what's truth for you is not truth for me. Some have been so bold as to say, well, that to you is a sin, but to me it's not. And friends, we can't categorize the truth in such a way. We need to look at God's word and see what God's word says about it and understand that the truth is that which makes us free. But before truth makes us free, it often accomplishes a number of other things as well. That's why I left the word free off of the passage. I feel like I did it no injustice. I'm not changing the word of God, because you'll see at the end of the sermon, we will end up at that same place. Truth will make you free. But along the way, as we journey toward truth, we'll see that the truth will make some other things. First, let's look at it this way. Ye shall know the truth, but the truth may be hard for you to hear. As we encounter the truth, we all, whether we intend to or not, or whether we believe it or not, bring our own personal histories, our own prejudices, our own backgrounds that we allow to blind us. Oh, how many times have we ever heard people say, well, we've done it that way for 25 years. Or when I was a child in knee breeches, we did it that way. And we're still doing it that way today. Does that make it truth? This can be the only explanation why people do not see the Bible alike without unfavorably reflecting upon the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, when we teach the Word of God, when we absorb the Word of God, we should all be absorbing the same thing. It should be the truth that we find in God's Word. We can see in John chapter 6 and verse 60 this situation where you shall know the truth, but the truth may be hard for you to hear. As Jesus spoke in front of his disciples, and his disciples, when they heard of it, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" How many times has somebody said something hard to us? Oh, they may say it in a very loving and kind manner. But we must, in order to receive it, set aside our preconceived notions. We must set aside those things which we think to be true and compare those things which are being said with what God's Word says. And yes, at times they are hard. What was the result of this? The result was, in verse 66 of John 6, that there were those who decided from that point forward not to follow anymore. It tells us specifically, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Here they had been introduced to the Son of God. They had been introduced to the Messiah. They had been introduced to him who would bring salvation to mankind. And because it was just a little rough to hear, they decided, you know what? We won't walk anymore behind him. We will not walk with him. Hard sayings caused some to stop following Jesus. The truth is, it's sometimes hard to hear because it requires us to make changes in our lives. When we hear the truth, the first time that we've heard the truth, it may be totally foreign to us because that's not the way we've been living. That's not the way we've been serving God. That's not the way we've been putting forth our lives. And therefore, it is foreign. People say, well, that's sometimes offensive. Truth can be offensive. Jesus was far from unoffensive. People often want to depict Jesus as this kind, mild-mannered individual. I suspect that he offended some folks when he went into the temple and turned over the tables of the money changers. I suspect that when he drove the animals out of the temple, that he offended some people. I suspect when he spoke those hard sayings in John chapter 6 and verse 60, that he offended some people. He upset many of the established norms of religious propriety. In other words, he stepped on their traditions with the truth. He spoke of God in terms of intimacy, which to many sounded like blasphemy. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verses 64 and 65, we'll see that he was responding to something that has been said to him. Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Notice as we read verse 65, the response, "Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy." In other words, let's take him now and do with him what the law will allow. He offended them, didn't he? But why did he offend them? Because they were wrong. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall be hard for you to hear." Sometimes people, when they commented on Jesus Christ, would comment upon those people that he had dealings with. He enjoyed the most questionable company. I say that as I turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. When the people who were around made comment regarding Jesus Christ and those with whom he would eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" What an accusation to make. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. When Jesus Christ went to those that were in the eyes of some as lesser beings, he went to them because they were seeking healing. The type of healing that he could provide. The type of information that he would provide. So that they too could be in favor with God. This was hard for the Pharisees to see and hear. In Acts chapter 7, verse 57, during the account of Stephen's sermon, which ultimately resulted in his stoning and his death, we see the reaction of the people. Stephen offended them. You know why? Because he spake the truth. What did they do? Well, they stopped up their ears. It kind of reminds me of small children. You know, they'll stick their fingers in their mouth and or in their ears and go la 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 while you're talking to them so they can't hear what you're saying. Hopefully they don't do their parents that way. But that's what they did. They stopped their ears. Verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That truth was hard to hear. What did he tell them? Well, he told them the same thing that Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost, that they had taken the Son of God and crucified him. Often Jesus would make the statement, he who had ears to hear, let him hear. Ye shall know the truth, but the truth may be hard to hear. Ye shall know the truth, but the truth shall first make you miserable. Hearing and receiving the truth requires an honesty and humility that some can never achieve. There are those who hear the truth, possibly even week in and week out, and because of their heart, because of their refusal to be honest, because of their refusal to be humble, they may never receive that truth because it makes them miserable. Truth then confronts us with our own frailties and our own limitations. The truth of the matter is that many of us are legends in our own mind. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And the truth levels the playing field. It brings us back to reality. It demands that we admit that we had been wrong. I know many of you possibly watched the Happy Days series that was on TV many years ago. And there was a character in there that rode a motorcycle. His name was Arthur Fonzarelli. He could do anything. He was cool. But he could not admit that he was wrong. He would falter at the word. And there are people today, sadly, people in the church that cannot admit that they're wrong because the truth says that they're wrong. It makes them miserable. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, we're going to see that this confrontation is so painful that there are some that are happier in self-deception than in the truth. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Notice what the continuation in such an attitude will get you. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Friends, there's a line that's been drawn. On one side is truth, on the other side is unrighteousness. And it's not a gray, there's not a gray area in between. You shall know the truth, but the truth may first make you miserable. But it's not always the case. We do have a biblical example, Acts chapter 18 and verses 24 beginning. We see a situation in which someone came to a brother or came to a man that was preaching the truth. And it shows that some are amenable to the truth. Apollos was corrected about baptism. We don't see or hear of him storming out. We don't see or hear him going about to tear down those that were trying to correctly guide him according to God's word. The passage reads, beginning in verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. We have every indication here that he accepted the truth as it was given to him, because immediately he went about and continued to preach and teach the gospel. It did not make him miserable. He's of those that are in the category that if he didn't follow the truth, he would be miserable. Ye shall know the truth, but it will often be painful to do something about it. We cannot be honest while intellectualizing about truth, but refusing to practice it. When Jesus Christ was standing before those who were doctors of the law, those who were the pillars of the community relative to the Mosaic system, he said to them many times, hypocrites. He called them hypocrites. Why? Because they intellectualized about the truth, but refused to practice it. Truth beckons courageous people who will stand against the current. Have you ever had to stand on the truth when others around you were not? Friends, I'm going to tell you, it is painful. It is hurtful. It is a saddening thing. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, we'll see early in the church, when the disciples were told not to preach, not to teach in the name of Jesus Christ. We can see what their response was, and we can see that they were willing to boldly stand, knowing that there was going to be pain involved. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John were courageous because of the truth. Do you not think that they considered even for a moment the pain that they might suffer? What about when they were in jail? What about when they were in shackles? What about when they had been treated contemptuously and been beaten for standing up for the truth? The Bible tells us time and time again, they praised God. They counted themselves, that they were counted worthy of being able to be punished for teaching and preaching the gospel. They were courageous because of the truth. In Jude, verse 3, a passage that the church needs to read and to embrace today. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But brother so-and-so over here won't like me. This congregation over there will not fellowship me if I stand for the truth. I'm going to ask you a question. As we look at this, you shall know the truth, but it will often be painful to do something about it. Would you rather be fellowshipped by a congregation that is headed for error, or rather be in fellowship with Christ? I'd rather be in fellowship with Christ. And yes, we're going to hurt on this earth when we stand for the truth. If you've never tried it, believe me, you will hurt when you stand for the truth. There will be pain involved, and it will come in different ways. It will come in different fashions, and it will come at you and from areas which you had absolutely no idea that it would come. But it will exist. But when you cross from this life to that which is beyond, when we cross from this life, having stood for the truth, having realized that we had been miserable at times, that it was hard to do something about it, that we had pain and suffering in our lives because we stood for the truth, when we cross over to the other side, there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more hardness. Finally, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the beauty of truth. For all of the difficulty of hearing, accepting, and acting on the truth, its value is vindicated in the outcome. Deliverance from sin. That's what we all should be after. Deliverance from sin. Understanding that there will be pain. There will be hardships. There will be suffering. The humble, teachable heart can be set free from sin. Truth challenges. Truth often hurts. and truth makes tough demands. But if anyone wants to enter into life, truth is the door through which he must pass. We need to take this message to other people. And we need to tell them, when we tell them about Jesus Christ and his glorious gospel, that it's not going to be easy. And we need to tell them that we will be there for them to help them on that journey. What does the Bible say regarding truth relative to salvation? It says that a person must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says in John 8:24 that we must believe. Jesus himself said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Luke 13:3-5 tells us that we must repent. I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Romans 10:9-10 tells us that we must confess. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Acts 2:38 is when Peter stood before those on the day of Pentecost, and he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As we apply truth to our lives daily, we need to realize and understand that that truth says to us that we must live faithfully until death. We must overcome the pains, the hurtfulness of truth. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. What about as Christians? What if we have not embraced the truth as we should? Are we forever lost? No. God knows the needs of man, and he has for eternity. And therefore he's provided so that Christians who have not adhered to the truth can reestablish the relationship they once had with him through repentance and prayer. Acts 8:22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Perhaps this morning there are those who need either to obey the gospel or those who have looked upon their lives and have examined it against the truth and realized that I've not been walking according to the truth. If that's the case, as we sing our invitation song, we're going to ask you to respond to the gospel. Let us stand and let us sing.